Listen, put me in the parking lot, you know, with bears, and I'll go out there and play. It don't matter.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes! You're listening to Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. Zach Blackerby, intern Jaws. Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's been a minute since you've been on. This is fun.
I know.
Glad
everybody's
you're back.
Been asking for me.
Yeah, missed you. Missed you. But the real person that people have been asking for is the one and only Charlie Five.
What's up?
How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Glad to be back.
Man, it's fired so up. Good to see you. I apparently did not fully introduce you well enough last week. Did I leave any other things out? I know we left out COVID survivor.
Yeah, I was a COVID survivor.
Right. Anything else? Is that about it?
I was the second person on the Stop Steal campaign on Twitter. So I was the second person to tweet that. I don't know.
It's weird.
No, not important.
Okay. It's weird that that like over the weekend you're still seeing stories come out about like Kevin Steele is not coming back. It's like, yeah. Yeah,
we get it.
We know. We don't have to keep writing about him.
Yeah.
What's up with that, you think?
I think it's kind of just one of those, it wasn't really official till it's official kind of thing. So I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. He's gone. He's not coming back.
So we're recording this Monday afternoon to go up Tuesday morning. And just a few minutes ago, Roger McCreary announced that he is returning.
Huge.
In 2021. Totally huge. I mean, probably the best recruit, or not the best recruit, the best prospect as far as how the NFL would view Auburn players. I can't think of one that I would want my NFL team to draft more than Roger McCreary.
Of draft eligible guys, no. He's gotten better every year. I'm really excited to see what he can do with Derek Mason working with him, mm-hmm. as well as Zach Etheridge. So that's exciting.
I love the Zach Etheridge hire, by the way. I'm all about it.
It's starting to grow on me more and more. I looked at it. He's a Ted Roof guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he played for Ted Roof. Ted Roof goes to Penn State. He goes as a grad assistant to
right.
Penn State. He goes to Georgia Tech. He follows him there. And I didn't realize this till recently, but Ted Roof was the defensive coordinator for Derek Mason this past year. So it seems like at Vanderbilt. So it seems like, you know, there's a connection there. Hey, Ted, what you think about Zach?
Right.
I need a DB coach. And they're going to, you know, combine, work together. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm always a fan of former players coming in too. And so that was one that wasn't really on my radar. Maybe it should have been.
Right.
Also, there's not a whole lot of Zachs in the world that spell it Z-A-C. A lot of people want to put an H on the end. It's like, that says Zach.
Correct.
I think that's huge. But anyway, yeah, so I'm pumped about McCreary. You and I talked about this last week, Charlie Five, about Smoke Monday announcing he would come back and just kind of some of the positive momentum. It's interesting that the defensive backs have come back when really every other position that was kind of up in the air, they seem to be leaving when you look at defensive line and running back.
Is it interesting? I mean, you got a renowned DB guy that's coming in. They're fired up. They're coming back. I'm interested to see what Sherwood does. I mean, I think kids are just going to be fired up to play for this guy, especially in the defensive backfield.
I'm a little surprised with the running back situation. You retain your running backs coach, and they still all are leaving. I think that's weird, honestly.
Oh, my gosh. The DJ thing, to me, makes no sense. The timing of it makes no sense. He looks like he's going to go to Florida State. You would think if he left Auburn, he's a little bit maybe concerned about playing time with Tank. But, I mean, you know, Brian ran it 40 times a game at mm-hmm. Boise. Tank can't handle 40 carries a game. So right. he's leaving that to go to a Florida State situation where they have two returning sophomore running backs, would-be juniors, and a freshman running back who averaged almost 10 yards a carry. Is he getting closer to home? No. Sebring, Florida, is as far away from Tallahassee as Auburn. So that's just a weird deal to me. I don't really understand it. We're gonna have to find some help at running back for sure.
And I feel like it has to be through recruiting. I think Auburn's, you know, next running back is in high school. You know, probably wrapping things up. I just don't see how it's an attractive landing spot for somebody through the transfer portal. It's like, all right. your path to playing time is picking up, you know, blitzes and pass protection. Because that was DJ's role, and boy, he was one of the best in the country at it. But I just don't see that being a very compelling pitch to somebody who's, you know, maybe already established and is in the transfer portal.
And the transfer portal may not even be a real option anyway anymore with them kind of tabling the vote and pushing it back. Some say it may be go for the 2022 cycle. So, you know, you're either going to have to go, I really don't know, grad transfer maybe that just wants some experience in the SEC.
Or JUCO.
But, yeah, your guy's going to have to come from high school and he's going to have to be ready to play. And I'm not sure how many of those guys are out there. So it's definitely a tricky situation to be in.
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't love that one at all. I do love that they retained Cadillac Williams. I think that's a good thing. You and I talked about that before. It's like, does he have enough? Does he wear enough hats to, you know, kind of garner that position? But
he's gonna have.
But here we are.
Right. He's gonna have to branch out, or he's gonna have to grow a little bit. And wear, like you said, wear multiple hats. But you know, one thing that we didn't talk about him is he's connected with IMG.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're always gonna have access to players there. You know, he's got a lot of potential. And it's supposedly he crushed the interview and they jumped way up the list. So
yeah, reading some of the quotes from Harsin coming out of that, he hasn't been a guy to show a whole lot of emotion, but I kind of felt like he had some when he was talking about Cadillac.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Which how could you not? I mean, look at the guy, he's awesome. And he's great.
And he's handsome.
Extremely handsome. But yeah, the Roger McCreer, circling back to that, I think it's interesting when you look at him and Smoke Monday, because if he were to have left, I think Auburn has a lot of really solid number two corners. Like when you look at Pritchett and you look at Simpson and Domi, I really don't know yet. I don't know if I have a full-fledged opinion on him quite yet. But all those guys seem like number two corners to me.
Right.
Not starting, you know, potential NFL type corners. So it's a huge deal. I don't know why he came back. I'm curious to see, because a lot of draft folks I talked to were saying day two. Can he get much better than day two? Can he move up to an early second round pick or possibly late first? I'm skeptical. We were looking up at his size earlier. He's listed at 6 foot, so he's probably like 5'10", right?
Right.
You know, how much is that going to limit him going into the NFL draft? I guess that'll be the 2022 draft.
Right.
When he enters that.
He's going to blow up the combine, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Whenever he goes. So, I got a chance to be tutored by the guy who, you know, made Richard Sherman who he was. I got a chance to, you know, play for an exciting, high-energy guy one more year at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get some more good film. And then you got that big body of work of film for the NFL guys to look at. Plus, you know, the minute you step onto the combine, you're going to blow it up anyway. So it makes sense in one aspect, but I also understand the argument that, you know, how much could he improve because of his size? We'll just have to see.
Yeah. I'm pumped to have him back. I can't wait to watch him, you know, just run, you know, just kind of push guys around at the line of scrimmage. I absolutely love his game. I think it's really, really fun to watch. Very physical, the whole bump and run style. I hope Auburn continues to do that. I think that's shown to work, but I kind of trust Derek Mason, what he's going to be able to do as well. He's going to bring a lot of energy to the program. There's no question about it. Today's show brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel. You can go to homefieldapparel.com to check out their new line of Auburn gear. And they've got new schools dropping all the time if you want to look at some other schools other than Auburn. But I don't know why you would do that. All these shirts, extremely comfortable. And they have these unique historical designs that are exclusively at Homefield Apparel. I love mine. I have two of their shirts. I think they're fantastic. And you can get 20% off your first purchase of Auburn gear with promo code Auburn, AUBURN. That's at homefieldapparel.com. Today's show also brought to you by our friends, our exclusive betting partners at Bet Online. Jaws, do you have a good line that you found?
We got some more NFL playoff games this weekend, and something that's interesting to me is Buffalo is only a 2.5-point favorite over Baltimore this weekend. I'd bet the house on Buffalo. I think they're really hot right now.
Interesting. So, if you want to follow former intern Jaws' betting analysis, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. BetOnline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for your 50% welcome bonus. Are you okay with people calling you out if you're wrong on that?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Moving on with Charlie Five, what other coaching news did anything stand out to you?
I would say the biggest thing to me that stood out was the reactions of Derek Mason and the hiring of Mike Bobo. And when I say that, It seemed like, would you agree that Derek Mason is almost unanimously considered a home run, grand slam hire?
I think that was the vast majority of Auburn fans' first choice was Derek Mason.
But I saw a lot of split opinions of Mike Bobo.
Yeah.
Almost some of the more negative were almost like super negative. Don't want him, this, that, and the other. And they would lean on his performance at Colorado State. And I'm like, wait a minute, we got two head coaches that, you know, were great coordinators that didn't necessarily perform the best as head coaches, but why are we so happy one way and you know, it's so divided the other way? I didn't really understand it. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I had to sell myself a little bit more on Mike Bobo. The conversation this past Friday with Ferguson on the Ferg Friday edition of the pod, highly encourage you to check that out. Justin really sold me on Bobo. I feel a little bit better about it. It's interesting. The thing that stood out to me, though, was when the Kevin Steele rumors were super thick, and it kind of seemed like that's where we were going, the reported hires was like Bobo was going to be his OC.
Right.
And every Auburn fan was like, no, gross. What in the world? But then Harsin comes in and he's like, we're going to get Mike Bobo. And everyone's like, okay, that's fine.
Right. I think I agree. And I'm going to be honest, I'm probably guilty of that as well. But I am
for sure.
Yeah. I think that had 99.9% to do with Kevin Steele and little of anything to do with Mike Bobo. I've seen a lot of arguments. Oh, his offense is kind of old, outdated. The book's out on him, whatever. He hasn't been good since Georgia. But, you know, in the 5 years that he was at Colorado State, he's had three of the top six total offensive leading output offenses. So three out of the best six offenses ever, and from a yardage perspective, were under Mike Bobo. Three of the top seven scoring outputs ever at Colorado State were under Mike Bobo. So, you know, 2019, he was 14th in the nation in passing. 2018, he was 13th in the nation in passing. You know, that's what we're kind of wanting. We're wanting a guy that can move the ball down the field, throw the ball, be explosive. And it seems like he did that very well at Colorado State.
And he runs so many different things, so many different formations. And that's a big part of what Harsin did at Boise State, just kind of being prepared for everything. Because how many times did we see the offensive game plan not work under Gus Malzahn? It's like, that was it.
That's it.
I mean, you knew how the offense was going to look after the first quarter.
First couple of drives.
Yeah. Right. And so I think you're going to see a lot more of an offense that is alive and can adapt and can adjust to things under Bobo and Harsin. I'm curious to see the input. And, like, I don't know if we'll ever really see this. Harsin seems like a pretty private guy, just like Gus was. But as far as what the dynamic is between the two of them, he was calling plays at South Carolina, so I can't imagine he would leave South Carolina to come to Auburn and not be the play caller. You know what I mean? Oh. So I'm excited to see Harsin be the CEO-type coach that a lot of Auburn fans have wanted for a while.
Right, and I think you know, we haven't seen it in the last 8 years, but you see the first guy that, you know, Bobo brings with him is his own offensive line coach, which to me signifies that Harsin has a lot of trust in this guy. They coached against each other in the Mountain West. He has faith that Bobo's going to – they're going to have a lot of the same ideas, so he can trust him to, you know, run his stuff, so to speak.
I love every hire so far except for the offensive line coach.
Really?
I'm not a fan of Will Friend.
What? How so?
I think he's going to be able to recruit really well, but when he was offensive line coach last year at Tennessee – they on paper had arguably the best and most talented offensive line in the country. And it wasn't good. Like, Auburn's offensive line last year was better than Tennessee's. And so I think it's very easy to point at and say, okay, well, it was the scheme. Jared Garantano didn't help anything out. Everything at Tennessee last year was kind of a disaster, so he couldn't really help himself. But that is my biggest reservation of hire so far is Will Friend.
I get that, but at the same time, you can't compete unless you bring in the, you know, you bring in the talent.
We've seen that firsthand, absolutely.
Right, and the guy gets talent. And how it worked out at Tennessee to me is, you know, it's a crapshoot anyway, mm-hmm. but you bring in freshmen and you're saying, this is how we're going to build. You know, you bring in Wanya Morris, you bring in the other five-star kid that his name's leaving me, and you say, this is how we're going to start it.
Right.
We're going to roll with you guys brand new right out of the gate, and it just didn't work out for whatever reason.
Maybe his relationship with Bobo, he gets what Bobo's trying to do a little bit right. more than what happened in Tennessee. I mean, so much of that is fit and scheme and personality. I mean, there's so many things that go into it, but that's just the one I'm most skeptical about, and that's the only reason. That's it right there.
Sure, and I think one thing you could add to that that I think is, like, super interesting is the Brad Bedell hire as tight ends coach because yeah. he was the offensive line coach and run game coordinator at Boise. And, like, four seasons, he had, like, five or two seasons, he had five all Mountain West first-team offensive linemen. So you kind of wonder, you got kind of two heads that can coach and develop offensive line and recruit at a high level at the same time. So I think we're going to be fine there.
Yeah, that's a good point because you got to think he's going to be involved with what the offensive line does. That's a good point. What do you think about the amount of people coming from Boise State? Obviously, a lot of people say that's expected. There's some people that don't like it. I don't have a problem with it. I think if you can coach, you can coach. Because they're going to have better players than they had at Boise and all that. So I'm not super worried about that. But some Auburn fans are.
I get it. But at the same time, your main swath of Boise guys are off the field, which is really interesting because I'm starting to see – positions being hired for that I've never heard of before. So you see Brian building this giant recruiting monster off the field.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting to me. And then, you know, you got your guys that you got guys that you just trust at some developmental positions.
Are you talking about Brad Lirondo being named Associates Athletics Director and Football Chief of Staff?
Absolutely. What a great
title, man. Are you kidding me?
I've always wanted somebody from the mafia. The guy looks like he'll crush a chicken parm and then run your head through a drywall.
Right, so sure. The best of both worlds.
And he's our chief of staff. I mean, that just sounds awesome.
Yeah, I love it. But you're right. And then, like, the whole, like, run game coordinator on the defense. Right. Like, I think that's interesting. What was his name? Jeff Schmetting.
Yeah. He was their defensive coordinator last year.
Yeah, that's
wild.
Do you think – I said this on yesterday's Locked on Auburn. Do you think there's some kind of thing where he's like, hey – come hang out over here, be Derek Mason's number two guy. He's going to be a head coach within 3 years. You could be the next guy possibly. You think that's how it went? Because that's how I think it went.
Sure, absolutely. That was my first thought as well. But also, you know, money talks.
You're right.
Money talks. So I get to go be a part of an SEC program, probably, you know, make a substantial raise in my mm-hmm. salary. So I can see it be enticing.
You don't have to live in Boise anymore.
Bingo.
I've never been to Boise, but I bet Auburn is a better place to live than Boise.
I got a feeling there's a lot more to do, a lot more to see.
Hey, today's show brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control models to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. They even have new carpet for your vehicle. They've got everything you need at rockauto.com. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car, truck, or SUV. Right? Locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, we got a few minutes left this week with Charlie Five. Before we move on to basketball, is there any other football you want to talk about? Any good jokes you want to share? The Cord Sandberg thing was a major hit last week.
I'm running a little dry.
Okay,
right
that's
now.
Fine. That's okay. I put you on the spot there. How pumped were you when Sharif Cooper was cleared by the NCAA?
I think I text you. I said my bug is on overload right now. I was super, super excited to see him on the court.
Right. And then I asked you what that meant.
Well, I think Auburn fans, like back in the 50s or 60s, were called booger eaters.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like a play on.
What an era.
Yeah.
What an era. I was super impressed with him. Not necessarily his shooting, but I think that's going to come. He's not going to go 1-for-7 from three every night. I don't think. I think we've all seen the highlights and the videos of him from practice. Like, I'm not worried about that's going to come. But the offense just looked so much better with him on the floor, like night and day. And if you would have told me going into the game that Auburn would score 90 points, I would have said that they would have won.
Right. One thing that I was kind of shocked by, I mean, I figured, you know, we'd have better looks. He'd be a good field general. I had no idea he could increase our free throw shooting percentage as well. That kind of blew my mind. He shot 9 of 10, and the rest of the team shot 15 of 18. That's just, what are we?
I mean, Auburn's,
we're like a 50 or 60% free throw shooting team. Obviously, right. I'm joking, but I'm excited to see. All I could think about was Justin Powell the whole game. Oh, my gosh.
That's the way Jaws is 24-7. Yeah. Just thinking about Justin Powell.
I've literally just a few minutes ago just posted to the Daily Justin Powell
Follow Daily Justin Powell on Instagram? You should.
You should.
I just
you get a daily picture of Justin Powell every single day.
Oh, dear God. Followed. The Daily Justin Powell. Done.
Every day.
No, but you think about he's shooting 51% from three. And he was doing that off his own dribble. He was doing that off the dribble, creating his own offense. Now you got a guy that can, he will attract so much defense and then dish it out. And Justin, I mean, I feel like he's going to hit 8-9 threes a game. I mean, how can he not?
Yeah, I can't wait for it. At least he's going to get the looks. You know, he hasn't. What was the stat? He hadn't scored more than 10 points since when?
He hadn't scored more than 10 points since December 15th.
I bet that streak ends whenever he comes back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Game one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just the impact that he had on the game was so dramatic. And I don't want to take anything away from JT Thor because, like, he made his own shots and, you know, he got his own points and his rebounds and his blocks and all that good stuff. But what a coming out party for JT Thor. If Sharif Cooper does not make his return on Saturday, if that's not the story, is JT Thor absolutely exploding. But right. Everybody wants to talk about Sharif, and that is fine. But JT Thor, heck of a game.
He's a sneaky one, man. People don't realize he's barely 18. I'm not even sure if he's 18 yet. He reclassified, and you know, he's coming in raw. But he is growing every game, and man, I just see Lob City with Sharif.
And we've kind of got a little glimpse of it.
Absolutely.
His vision's ridiculous, though.
It's like
it barely leaves his hand, but it goes all the way across the court. It's like, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
He sees it, man. He sees the court, and he can get it where it needs to be. He was a little nervous to start off with.
You could tell.
And to close the game, he obviously had a couple bad possessions, but it's there. It's going to keep growing, and you know, we don't have postseason to worry about this year, so watch this team develop and have fun with it. It's going to be fun to watch.
How weird was it losing to Alabama? Jaws and I hosted after the game on ESPN 106.7 on Saturday, and we were getting calls and talking with folks, and it's so crazy to me. You lose to Alabama in a close game, but everyone's like, that was pretty fun. Right. It was good to see Sharif back, and so everybody's okay with it. And that mixed with, you know, the postseason ban, so how much do wins really mean right now and all that. Right. It's all about, you know, focusing and getting better as a program. But really odd dynamic currently.
I think it was because, I mean, I knew Sharif was good, but for him to come, not like that was his very first SEC game. First game was an SEC game against Alabama.
Yeah.
And he just kind of did his thing and took over. And that's what's exciting because I think he's exceeding expectations already. So it makes it more fun to watch the next game and the next game and the next game. So you didn't really care about the outcome too much. Rivalries are overrated anyway.
Joss?
I think for me, the exciting thing for me is he did that against what is currently the best team in the SEC in his debut game. He scored on an off day, it looked like, offensively, especially from deep. You know, imagine what this kid is going to be like 10 games down the road. And imagine if he comes back next season. I think he will, just based off the fact that we have a shortened season this year, and he's not gotten to play half of that. So I'm really, really excited going forward.
Jaws, where can people find you on any of your 30 social media accounts?
You can follow me on Twitter at InternJaws.
What about you, Charlie Five?
You can find me at AuburnSports.com, The Bunker, or 247 Sports. But
do you sleep there? Do you sleep in The Bunker?
I stay there. I stay there. Okay. That's where I stay.
Gotcha.
But you can also find me at the_Charlie_5 on Twitter. Had to go.
Did you change that?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Want to remain anonymous.
I love it.
For the time being.
I love it. That's why I didn't tag you in the first one. I was like, I don't know if he wants me doing that. So that's funny. That's funny. You can follow me on Twitter at ZBlackerby. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Auburn and on Instagram at Auburn Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On Auburn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.